What makes for a good life? It's a question asked and answered by countless philosophers, theologians, and self-help authors. But what does science have to say about the question? Well, after some 85 years of data gathered by Harvard researchers, the results seem to be in, and they're summed up in the new book, The Good Life: Lessons from the World's Longest Scientific Study of Happiness, by Robert Waldinger and Mark Schultz. Robert is a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and Mark teaches psychology at Bryn Mawr. Together, they head up the Harvard study of adult development at Massachusetts General Hospital. And here's Mark to share five of the key insights.
Hi there. I'm Mark Schultz, co-author along with Robert Waldinger of The Good Life, Lessons from the World's Longest Scientific Study of Happiness. I'm also a professor of psychology and director of data science at Bryn Mawr College. Our book builds on the insights of a remarkable research project, the Harvard study of adult development that began in the 1930s and followed 724 individuals from adolescence to the end of their lives. And when I say follow, I mean follow really closely. From its very beginning, this is a study that has tried to capture the lived experience of its participants with regular interviews, open-ended questions, visits to the homes and families of participants, and observations of their interactions with loved ones. The original participants came from very different walks of life. Almost two-thirds were adolescents growing up in the poorest neighborhoods of Boston. Most of these teens came from immigrant families and lived in tenements without indoor plumbing. The remaining participants lived not far away from these adolescents, but their worlds were very different. They were students at Harvard University. We're now studying more than 1,300 of the daughters and sons of the original participants. In The Good Life, we draw on the life stories of all these individuals, on ancient wisdom, and on the scientific findings from the Harvard study and many other studies to identify the factors that help people thrive in life, to live a good life. I'm excited to share with you five of the big ideas from our book. Big idea number one: relationships keep us happier and healthier across the lifespan, and loneliness erodes our health. If we step back and look at all 84 years of the Harvard study and boil the findings down to a single principle for living, one life investment that is supported by similar findings across a wide variety of other studies, it would be this: good relationships keep us healthier and happier, period. And science also shows us that the absence of good relationships diminishes our health and well-being. Some specific findings: people who are more isolated than they want to be find their health declining sooner than people who feel connected to others. Lonely people also live shorter lives. Chronic loneliness increases a person's odds of death in any given year by 26%. Sadly, the sense of disconnection from others is growing. About 1 in 4 Americans report feeling lonely, and Great Britain has appointed a minister of loneliness to address what has become a major public health challenge. So if you're going to make that one choice that could best ensure your own health and happiness, science tells us that your choice should be to cultivate warm relationships. Big idea number two: relationships don't just take care of themselves. They require active maintenance and renewal. We tend to think that once we establish friendships and intimate relationships, they will take care of themselves. But like muscles, neglected relationships atrophy. When the Harvard study participants reached their 70s and 80s, we asked them if they had any regrets. Many told us they wished they had tended to their relationships more. They talked about friends that they had lost touch with and close relatives that they wished they had spent more time with. For example, Lydia at age 78 told us, "I wish I'd spent a lot more time with my kids and less time at work." Knowing how to improve our social connections, our social fitness, isn't easy. Unlike stepping on the scale or taking a quick look in the mirror, assessing our social fitness requires a bit more sustained self-reflection. It requires stepping back from the distractions of modern life, taking stock of our relationships, and being honest with ourselves about where we're devoting our time and whether we are tending to the connections that help us thrive. It also means asking ourselves what we find challenging in relationships and beginning to make a commitment to doing better. Big idea number three: Relationships of all kinds matter, but all relationships come with challenges. You do not need to be married to reap the benefits of relationships and live a good life. An intimate partnership can bring great joy, but we get benefits from all types of relationships. Close friendships, connections with relatives, parents, aunts, cousins, kids, people we work with, and even casual relationships like the person we see on the bus on the way to work, or the person who delivers our mail. The fact is that relationships serve so many functions and help us in so many ways that we are unlikely to get all we need from one person. While it is clear that relationships are critical for our well-being, many of us struggle with aspects of relationships. This is not that surprising. Relationships are often messy and challenging and unpredictable. Differences of opinion or preference are almost inevitable in relationships, as are feelings of disappointment or vulnerability. Relationships, like life itself, are complicated. They come with joy and challenge, love, but also pain. It is almost impossible to have one without the other. A good life, in fact, is forged from precisely the things that make it hard. Challenges are opportunities for growth. Learning how to navigate relationship challenges better is key. Big idea number 4. Our attention is our most precious resource. How should we spend our time and attention? Because of the brevity and uncertainty of life, this is a question that has profound implications for our health and happiness. There is a Buddhist mantra that goes like this: if only death is certain and the time of death is uncertain, then what should I do? Think for a moment about a friend or relative you cherish, but don't spend as much time with as you would like. Now think about how often you see that person: every week, once a month, once a year. You can do the math and project how many hours in a single year you think you spend with this person. Whenever that number is, contrast it with the amount of time that the average person spends today on screens. In 2018, Americans spent an astonishing 11 hours every day interacting with media, from television to radio to smartphones. From the age of 40 to the age of 80, that adds up to 18 years of waking life. You can decide to whom and to what you give your attention. You can prioritize your relationships and choose to be with the people who matter. By developing your curiosity and reaching out to others, family members, loved ones, coworkers, friends, acquaintances, even strangers, with one thoughtful question at a time, one moment of devoted, authentic attention at a time, you strengthen the foundation of a good life. Big idea number 5. It's never too late to improve your connections with others. Andrew Deering lived one of the most difficult and isolated lives of any study participant. As a child, Andrew's family moved a lot, and he didn't develop any lasting friends. His struggles with meaningful connections continued even after getting married in his 30s. When asked in his mid-60s to describe his closest friends in life and what they had meant to him, Andrew wrote simply, "No one." When Andrew was 67, he was forced by health problems to retire from a job that was one of the few sources of pleasure and connection in his life. Around that same time, he decided to end his marriage. He was lonelier than ever. He decided to start going to a gym near his house. 3 months later, Andrew knew everyone at the club and looked forward to seeing them when he visited. He also discovered that a few of them shared a love for old movies, and they started getting together to watch movies. When we checked in with Andrew in his 80s, we asked how often he left his home to see others or had people visit him. He told us daily, quite a change from his earlier answer of never. We live in a world that hungers for greater human connection. Sometimes we might feel that we are adrift in life, that we're alone, and that we're past the point where we can do anything to change that. Andrew had felt this way for a long time, but he was wrong. It wasn't too late, because the truth is, it's never too late. Thanks much for listening. We hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Mark. That was 5 big ideas from The Good Life, Lessons from the World's Longest Scientific Study of Happiness by Robert Waldinger and Mark Schultz. So if the secret to a good life is relationships, how do you go about making yours stronger? start with five big ideas from Friendship in the Age of Loneliness by Adam Smiley Pozwalski. I'm Michael Kovnat, wishing you a day filled with happiness.